to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You know, you don't come to church, you're going to miss things going on all of the time here. And I know some of you think, well, I can miss a service now or then. That's, you know what, okay. But that's not the kind of people that God uses to build his church. I want you to be faithful. Perhaps over a period of time, you've gotten discouraged. And I know in the wintertime, that possibility is very real. People get depressed sometimes in the wintertime. There's not as much sunshine. There's all kinds of physical reasons for that. There's all kinds of emotional reasons to be depressed. All that's going on in the world with ICE and the terrorism and Russia rearing its ugly head and North Korea and now having American hostages and prisoners and just this stuff going on all the time. And I got to tell you, an American giving Iran $1.7 billion and just there's all kinds of things and our economy and there's a lot, if you don't have Christ, there's a lot to get real down in the dumps about. And maybe there's heartache in your family. Maybe there's been some disappointment. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. Man, you're almost overwhelmed. And you've asked the question, where is God in all of this? And I'm going to answer that question this morning. And I trust that God will get a hold of your heart again. I hear again and again from visitors to this church and visitors to our ministry and whatever the event might be. For instance, a ball game. Heard it again several times this week from Detour people. Man, what a great facility and venue. We had no idea that this was going on over here. And thank you for making us feel so welcome. This is out at the ball game now. And I want you to know that our ball games are different than most ball games. Our kids laugh. Our kids applaud. Our kids are happy. They're not walking around with a big chip on their shoulder. And it's identifiable by visitors that come here. And we have a big time. And Thursday night's ball game, the gym was too small. We didn't have enough seats. It was packed out. It was homecoming. That's the way it works. And we have great opportunity to be a great testimony. And I hear it again and again. I want to say this. I got to get off of this and get to Psalm 10 here. But our young ladies look like young ladies and our young men look like young men. And that shows, that is identifiable by visitors that come to this place. And then to have the joy of the Lord, and a little bit of joy, and a little bit of happiness, that goes a long, long ways. We as a people are carrying a great responsibility, and that's the light of the gospel. And again, maybe you're going through a tough time right now. Like the prophet of old, I want to remind you that you are surrounded with an angelic hedge of protection as a child of God. No matter how big and bad the devil is, we have Christ. We have our rock. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 10. I don't know that I'll read all 18 verses. I really don't need to preach what I'm going to preach this morning. We are going to look at other passages of Scripture here this morning. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Remember that verse. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, and forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his hand. That's not my message, but I got to say this. Don't side with the world. That's not your team. That's not your army. That's not your family. Man, don't go there. You read what in the Bible what God is going to do with them. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. I call your attention back to verse 1. Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? I found a phrase, that phrase in several other passages of Scripture, where God is hiding himself from Jacob, from Israel. Find it in Psalm 44, verse 24, Psalm 104, verse 29, Isaiah 8, verses 13 through 17, Isaiah 45 and verse 15, Psalm 88 and verse 14. Yet the Lord, the Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And you may ask yourself the question, where is God in my time of trouble? Where is he when I need him the most? And I want you to know that God, you may think, and this was the words of man, that God is hiding, but he is not. That's your perception because you are far from. You say, well, why does God allow that to happen in our lives? And that's what I want to share with you here this morning. I've got four reasons that God hides himself from his people, those that are truly born again. I remind you that you're never alone and you are never out of God's care. And no matter how tough times may be for you, I don't know, you might be on top of the mountain right now. But if you're one of those people right now, you're really struggling. You're dragging. I want you to know that you are never outside of God's care. You are never beyond his reach. You ever do this as a parent of a young person, a little boy or a little girl? They wander from you a lot. So you go into the supermarket or you go into a department store and you let them wander from you, but you know right where they're at. You ever do that? Raise your hand if you've done that before, teaching your children. Isn't that amazing? Could it be that God the Father does that for us once in a while? We're too big for our own britches. We think we're somebody, and we're constantly wandering off, and he comes after us, and so he lets us wander. We're not out of his care. We are not out of his sight. But we think, where's God? Mama, where are you? Daddy, where are you? That ever happened to you as a little boy? That happened to me one time. I was in the great big store in Sault Ste. Marie called Temple. Anybody remember when Temple was in the Sioux? Not a long time ago. That was the first big parking lot in the Sioux. Do you remember that? I remember that because as a 16-year-old boy, I went in that parking lot with my buddies Vega and spun all kinds of donuts. This was real early in the morning. I couldn't believe how big this parking lot was. It was amazing. That's where Big Lot is right now, by the way. All right, there used to be a store called Temple. And I don't remember if it was mom or dad, but they allowed me to get lost. They were in the next aisle. I was in the far corners of the world. I looked around and they were gone. But made me appreciate my mom and my dad. Here's some reasons God allows us to think he is hiding. Sometimes God hides just to see our response. In school, you get a lesson and then you get a test. Many times in life, you get the test and then you get the lesson because God has our attention. That might work in school too, you know that? Once God has our attention, then he teaches us. Take your Bibles quickly and turn to 2 Chronicles, and we'll not spend a lot of time there. We're not going to delay there. I'm going to give you some of the background. That's about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good, godly king, at least for a time, and God gave him extra years. Maybe you know all of that story. God blessed him. God blessed him in politics. He became internationally. He was a great king. God blessed him with great wealth. God blessed him in righteousness. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 30. But though a godly man and a godly king, he foolishly allowed the ambassadors from Babylon to see the wealth and the treasures of the temple. They returned 100 years later and plundered the city. Verse 30, that's the background. Verse 30 says, this same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. He brought the river right into the city. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, Hezekiah failed in that area. Sometimes God hides and allows us to think he's hiding just to see our response. And then God teaches us a lesson, and God helps us to grow. Perhaps you've made some poor choices, foolish decisions, just like Hezekiah did. Maybe in the area of music. Maybe music is the Trojan horse in your household. It's brought in all kinds of immorality. Perhaps it's new Bible version. I haven't preached on that in a while. You allow it to come in just, you know, for whatever reason. You compromise. What's sad about that is you won't see the fruit of that generation. But I've seen it. And if you're old enough, you have seen it. Sometimes God hides just to see what it's to grow us, to test us, and so that we become stronger. By the way, when you choose right, you're built up. You become stronger. Say, where is God in my storm? Maybe this storm is a test. And God wants to see how you're going to react. All too often, boy, I've seen this. I'm capable of the very same thing. I'm not preaching down on anyone. All too often, we get in the storm and we run away from God. We run to the wolf. We run to the devil himself. We run to the world. Say, help! Because we don't think God is there. And all he was doing was just reminding us that's the second reason. Sometimes God hides to remind us that we need him. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark in chapter 4. Mark and chapter 4. I need to be reminded of this periodically, because all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. We are all prone to leave the path of righteousness and walk off into the world in the flesh. If you take your eyes off of God, that's what you're going to do. We are all prone to wander, just like sheep wandering from a flock. We get away from the shepherd when that happens, and we start to make foolish decisions. We are all prone to wander. You know how not to wander? Stay faithful to church. Of course, stay faithful in the Word of God. Read your Bible, not like a computer. Read your Bible. Feed on the Word of God. You'll develop a relationship with God. Any preacher you ever hear that falls into sin, I'll tell you one thing, he hasn't been reading his Bible. I know it. He has not been studying for the sake of being fed. He's just getting sermons. And that's why he goes off into the world. Any New Testament Christian that chooses and falls into sin, it's because they've not been fortified. You know why they're not fortified? They're not in the book. Man, I wonder how many could read, if we were honest this morning, how many would raise our hands and say, I read my Bible every day last week. I wonder how many of us couldn't raise our hands this morning. And then we wonder why the world is so alluring. And of course it is. Mark in chapter 4 and verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The ship was sinking. The disciples looked at one another, and some of them maybe even verbalized it. We're going to die. These are professionals, but I mean, they're being overrun by waves, and it's a great storm, the scripture says. Notice verse 37, great storm. It isn't just a roll. It's storming, man, and their lives are in peril. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, that's Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Verse 37 again, it says, now the ship was full. Water on the outside, water on the inside. Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care? Verse 39, and he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of men is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Now they understood, they were told, and they thought they understood that he was the Son of God. Jesus is in control and can control and will take care of you in any storm that comes your way. This was a great storm. And if you look at the grammar here and the way it's worded, Jesus told the storm to get down like you would tell a dog to get down. That's the exact connotation. Get down. All the waves are gone. All the white caps just melt away. Gone. So much so that the disciples looked at one another and said, well, I'll tell you what kind of man he is. He's the Son of God. And he can settle your storm as well. Sometimes, and God allowed the disciples, he knew what was going on. He's the Son of God. He allowed them to experience this storm to remind them that they still needed him. God may be allowing this storm in your life right now just to remind you, because you're getting too big for your own britches, just to remind you that you still need God. And if it takes a great storm, it will be a great storm. You know why? Because God loves you. He's not going to let you wander too far. If you're truly a child of God, if you're truly born again and you choose the world, look out. There's some tough times coming, tough sledding. It's going to get bad. It'll get as bad as God needs it to get bad in order to get your attention. Maybe you got to learn the same lesson over and over again. God's going to remind you, and God will remind me, that we still need Him. We tend to forget God. Before I give you the third thing, I've seen that so many times. And again, I'm not preaching down on anybody. I'm preaching to those two guys right there, and I'm preaching to me. I've seen so many people, we win them to the Lord, they get saved, they got nothing, but they get born again, they start to live the right kind of life, they're not wasting their money on alcohol and drugs and partying and all the foolishness and the debauchery and the immorality of the world, and they're honoring God, and God brings their little family back together, and boy, they're growing strong in the Lord, and God is blessing them, and they don't miss Sunday school, and they don't miss Sunday night, and they don't miss Wednesday night, and they're 100% involved, and something happens with prosperity. Well, we forget God, and we forget who it was that blessed them. And then pretty soon, well, I don't need to come on Wednesday night. It's okay to miss once in a while. Sunday school, I can read my own Bible. You know, you can come up with all the reasons. I need my sleep. How can that be? Sunday night, you know, I punched the time clock Sunday morning. I did my duty. Wrong attitude. That's wrong-headed. And they start missing. Before that, they started missing their Bible reading. They're wandering, and they forget God. And then a great storm comes. Sometimes the family is splintered, never to be the same, because everybody has the free will to react different to the hand of God. Sometimes they come home, and God reminded them, we still need God. Sometimes God seems to hide, because of our sin. You ever pray, and it's like your words are bouncing off the ceiling? You ever pray on your knees in your bedroom, and it's like your bed is just soaking up your prayers, and nothing happens? The skies grow cold like steel. There is no God that hears your prayers. There's a reason for that. Isaiah chapter 59. Verses 1 through 3. I want to say this in a statement before I read it. God never blesses sin. Never. You say, well, I partook in that over there. Everything's still okay. I got the blessing of God. You know, you better see God in that, because He might be blessing somebody around you and it's spilling over on you. He might be being merciful, expecting you to do right. If you choose wrong, it won't end up well. Verse 1 of Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Yes, Jesus cares. And yes, He's all-powerful. And He's compassionate. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Verse 2 again says, because your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. Sometimes God hides because of our personal. And I'm glad God hears mom's prayers. I'm glad God's hearing Sis's prayers or Pastor Josh's prayers. I don't know when the last time He heard my prayer and He's answered my prayer. Maybe you should examine your life. What's going on in that life? What has happened that has caused God to hold you at arm's length? Doesn't cease to love you. Doesn't say that. His arm is not shortened, and His promise is not slack. He's willing to save you. He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to do things right. But you have chosen the life of sin, and therefore God is not hearing your prayers. Unconfessed sin is a barrier between you and God. Rehearse this last week, the last 7 days. What all did you get accomplished in the last 7 days? Where all did you go? What all did you do? Who'd you lead to Christ? Who'd you witness to? Who did you pray for? What prayers got answered? What sins did you commit? Over and over again. Sin separates us from God. You don't cease to be saved. You cease to be right. You don't cease to be His child. You cease to be in His fellowship. You're in His family. You're not in His fellowship. As a child of God, your sins are confessed, or it will seem like God is hiding. Then there's sometimes God hides us. And this is precious. Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus in chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Yes, as a man, I can use the word precious, all right? This is so comforting. We're going to look at the reverse of it. Sometimes God will hide us, and I mean that in the positive sense of the word. This passage has blessed my heart so many. I read about Moses, and this is my prayer. God, hide me in the cleft. Hide me in the rock. God, I want to know You. I want to know Your glory. It's a great hymn, gospel hymn. is written about this very passage of scriptures. For our own protection, sometimes God hides it. Have you ever been so close to God in prayer that you're almost afraid to open your eyes because you know you're in His presence? You know, He might be there. Now, I know I'm talking as a human, but I'm just telling you, and I'm not talking about an emotional experience. I don't mean it. Although emotions are there and they enhance it. But that's not foundational. That's not where it's at. I'm just telling you, let me ask you this. Do you walk with God, or does God have to catch up with you? An old preacher by the name of Harold Seitler, who's now in heaven with God, walking down the hall, going into the front foyer of his church there at Tabernacle Baptist. That's a joke from Sunday school. He walked by, and he was an old man, preached well up into his 80s. Gravel voice, hard to understand sometimes what he was saying because he was so ancient and so old, and talk like with a real big gravel voice. And when he got excited, man, it was something, you know. And like an old man walks, he walked by his grandson, who was an assistant pastor at the time. And I heard this secondhand, actually right from the secondhand guy. He said, "You see that man?" He was walking away from him towards the auditorium. He said, "There goes a man he'd heard him pray when no one else could." Do you walk with God? Listen to Moses. You know, with the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue was given to Moses. He threw it down. You know the story, because the people were off in sin. There was a discouraged, disillusioned pastor, a church leader, and the people had gone off into sin and immorality. And Moses was so upset. And even though he was made of the same stuff, it says in verse 1 of chapter 33. Let's start with that. And I'm going to skip a bunch of verses. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments." Let's skip all the way over to verse 12. Moses is going to spend some alone time with God. There's great turmoil among the people of God. They brought it on themselves. They were all fleshly and worldly, and then they were wondering why God wouldn't go before them. It says in verse 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Moses is saying, "God, you made me these promises, and man, I don't know where to turn. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." I'm glad. I know that Moses was glad to hear those words. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I don't want to go without you, God." Wouldn't it be great if the church felt that way today? By the church, I mean the people. Wouldn't it be great if the people would just refuse to go any further without God? So many of us, we're doing our own thing. We're doing our own program. That's foolish. He'll never enter the promised land that way. You'll go to heaven when you die, but you aren't going to know the abundant life. How many times do you have to fall on your face? I think how many times I did. Before you start to get it. Just being the thick-headed guy I am. Moses said, "I don't want to go on without you." Verse 16, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." You hear what Moses is saying? We're willing to be the separatists. We're willing to be different than the Gentile nations. We don't need their drinking and their smoking and their dancing and their wife swapping and their carousing and their drugs. We don't need that. We're willing to be different. God, would you go before us again? We won't go without you. And he's already promised he'll give them the promised land. He'll drive out their enemies before them. Let's read on. Verse 17, and by the way, like Moses prayed, then they'll know we're your people. Wouldn't it be great if Chippewa County knew that the Church of Jesus Christ belonged to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be great if they identified our Savior? Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Can you imagine Moses praying that? God, I want to see you. Just a little bit of you. I want a fellowship with you. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Man, what poetic language. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Moses said, let me see your glory. I want to see you, God. We talk, we fellowship. I want to see you. And God said, you can't see me and live. I'll tell you what, I'll have all my goodness pass by in front of you, all the goodness of God. And I got to protect you in order for you to see that. I'll place you on the rock, and I'll hide you back in a cleft. And I'll put my hand over it, and I'll pass by. You know how close he was to heaven? I will pass. I'm jumping way ahead. We don't have time to read it. When Moses came down from the mountain, his skin, they couldn't believe it. Whoa, Moses! He'd seen the glory of God. Let's read on here. Verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. You know he's talking about Jesus here, don't you? There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. That's Jesus. The Godhead is there. There is one by me, the very Son of God. He's the rock. You stand on that rock. I'll hide you in that rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. That's protection. Holds his hand up. He walks by. And I will take mine hand away, and thou shalt see my back parts after I pass by, but my face shall not be seen. You know, Moses was never the same again. And after a while, that shining skin, it wore off. You read about it. It wore off. But for a while, he had to have a veil on his face because he had been in the presence of God. How long has it been since you've been in the presence of God? New Testament Christian, blood bought, born again, adopted into the family of God. How long has it been since you spent time with your God? Is that convicting? It ought to be. He said to the children of Israel, the Hebrews, you separate. You quit going back to those poison wells. You quit going back to the world. You separate, and I will go before you. And I challenge you. They didn't cease to be his children. They didn't cease to be Hebrews. They were still going to heaven one day. They still had his name on them. You can read it right there. But in order to get in the land of Canaan, the promised land, they need to be separate. They need to be different than the world in fellowship with God. That's what we do at Fundamental Baptist. We don't entertain. We fellowship with God. We open our Bibles. We read the Word of God. And you know who our preacher is? It isn't the guy in the pulpit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And he takes the Holy Word and he grips our hearts. Sometimes you get mad at the messenger. I understand that. Sometimes you get upset with how it's worded. But you can't escape the Bible. You cannot escape the Word of God. God never blesses sin, but he always blesses his people that respond to him and respond rightly. Sometimes God hides to see our response, give us a test. Sometimes he hides to remind us we need him. Sometimes he hides because of our sin.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.